भगवते वासुदेवाय
ॐ नमो भगवते वासुदेवाय
नारायणं नमस्कृत्यां नरं चैव नरोत्तमं देवीं सरस्वतीं व्यासां ततो जयमुदीरये नष्टाप्रयश्च भद्रेषु नित्यं भागवत सेवय भगवत्युत्तमश्लोके भक्तिर्भवति नैष्टिकी.
Hare Krishna. So today we are reading Canto 5, Chapter 18, Text 26. This continuation of the prayers of Svayambhuva Manu to Lord Matsya. And the chapter entitled The Residents of Jambudvipa Offer Prayers. Antar Bahish Chakilaloka Palakar Adrishta Rupo Vicharasi Purusvana Sa Ishvara Tvam Ya Idam Vashe Nayam Namna Yadha Darumahim Nara Striyam. Antar Bahishchak Kira Loka Palakar Adrishta Rupo Vichara Surustvana Saishvara Stvam Yahidam Vashenaya Namna Yadhadaru Mahim Narakstriya Antar Bahishchak Kila Loka Palakar Adrishta Rupo Vichara Surusvana Saishvara Stvam Yahidam Vashenaya Namna Yadhadaru Mahim Narakstriya Antar Bahishcha Kila Loka Palakai Adrishta Rupo Vichara Surusvana Adrishta Rupo Vichara Surusvana Saishvara Svam Yaidam Vashenaya Narayata Daru Mahim Yadastiya. Let us pass. Vaishnavas.
Antar Bahishcha Kila Loka Palakai Adrishta Rupo Vichara Surusvana Saishvara Svam Yaidam Vashenaya Namna Yatta Daru Mahim Nara
Kshatriyam. Antah, within. Bahir, without. Cha, also. Akila Loka Palakai. By the leaders of the different planets, societies, kingdom, etc. Atrishtarupa, not seen. Vicharasi, you wonder. Uru, very great. Sanaha, who sounds Vedic mantras. Saha, he. Ishwaraha, the supreme controller. Tvam, you. Yaha, who. Idam, this. Vashe, under control. Anayat, has brought. Namna, by different names like Brahmana, Kshatriyas, Vaishya, and Shudra. Yatha, exactly like. Dharmahim, made of wood. Naraham, a man. Striyam, a doe. Translation. My dear Lord, just as a puppeteer controls his dancing dolls and a husband controls his wife, your Lordship controls all the living entities in the universe, such as Brahmanas, Kshatriyas, Vaishyas, and Shudras. Although you are in everyone's heart as a supreme witness and commander, and are outside everyone as well, the so-called leaders of societies, communities and countries cannot realize you. Only those who hear the vibration of the Vedic mantras can appreciate you. Please repeat. My dear Lord, just as a puppeteer controls his dancing dolls and the husband controls his wife, your Lordship controls all the living entities in the universe, such as the Brahmanas, Kshatriyas, Vaishyas, and Shudras. Although you're in everyone's heart, as a supreme witness and commander, and are outside everyone as well, the so-called leaders of societies, communities and countries cannot realize you. Only those who hear the vibration of the Vedic mantras can appreciate you. Prepared by Srila Prabhupada. The Supreme Personality of Godhead is Antar Bahir, present within and without everything. One must overcome the delusion caused by the Lord's external energy and realize His presence both externally and internally. This is a command of Srila Prabhupada. In Srimad Bhagavatam, Srimati Kunti Devi has explained that Krishna appears in this world Nata Nyatya Daro Yadha, exactly like a nectar dressed as a player. And in Bhagavad Gita, Krishna says, Ishvarak Sarva Buddha Nam Hridya Shrerjuna Tishtati. The Supreme Lord is situated in everyone's heart. O Arjuna, the Lord is situated within everyone's heart and outside as well. Within the heart, He is a super soul, the incarnation, who acts as the advisor and witness. Yet, although God is residing within their hearts, foolish people say, I cannot see God. Please show Him to me. Everyone is under the control of the Supreme Personality of Godhead, exactly like dancing dolls controlled by a puppeteer or a woman controlled by her husband. A woman is compared to a doll, Dharmayi, because she has no independence. She should always be controlled by a man. Still, due to the false prestige, a class of women wants to remain independent. What to speak of women? All living entities are Prakriti, female, and therefore dependent on the Supreme Lord. As Krishna himself explains it in Bhagavad Gita, Aparyam idastvanyam prakriti vidyame param. The living entity is never independent. Under all circumstances, he is dependent on the mercy of the Lord. And the Lord creates the social divisions of human society, Brahmanas, Kshatriyas, Vaishyas, and Shudras, and ordain that they follow rules and regulations suited to their particular position. In this way, all members of society remain always under the Supreme Lord's control. Still, some people foolishly deny the existence of God. Self-realization means to understand one's subordinate position in relation to the Lord. When one is thus enlightened, he surrenders to the Supreme Personality of Godhead and is liberated from the clutches of the material energy. In other words, unless one surrenders to the lotus feet of the Lord, the material energy in its many varieties will continue to control him. No one in the material world can deny that he is under control. The Supreme Lord Narayana, who is beyond this material existence, controls everyone. The following Vedic mantra confirms this point. Ekko Mahavai Narayana Asit. Foolish person think Narayana to be the platform of ordinary material existence because they don't realize the natural constitutional position of the living entity. They concoct names like Daridra Narayana, Swami Narayana, and Mithya Narayana. However, Narayana is actually the supreme controller of everyone. This understanding is self-realization. The verse once more. My dear Lord, just as a puppeteer controls his dancing dolls and a husband controls his wife, your Lordship controls all the living entities in the universe, such as Brahmanas, Kshatriyas, Vaishyas, and Shudras. Although you are in everyone's heart as a supreme witness and commander, and are outside everyone as well, the so-called leaders of societies, communities, and countries cannot realize you. Only those who hear the vibration of the Vedic mantras can appreciate you. Om Gyanam Tsuran Desya Gyanam Jana Shalakaya Chakshurun Milita Mena Tasmai Shri Gurave Namaha Shri Chaitanya Manobhishtam Stapitam Yena Bhutale Svayam Rupa Kadamayam Dadati Svapadantikam Vandeham Shri Guru Kshiyuta Padakamalam Shri Gurun Vaishnavascha Shri Rupa Sagrajitam Sahagana Raghunatam Vitam Tam Sajivam Sadvaitam Savadutam Parijanam Sahitam Krishna Chaitanya Devam Shri Radha Krishna Padam Sakagana Lalita Shri Vishakam Svitam Shah Nama Om Vishnu Padaya Krishna Prashtaya Buddhale Shimate Chaya Pataka Swami Tinamine Namo Chari Padaya Nitaya Kripa Pradaya Nigaura Katta Damadaya Nagara Brahma Tarine Nama Om Vishnu Padaya Krishna Prashtaya Buddhale Shimate Bhakti Vedanta Swami Tinamine Namaste Sarasvati Devi Gauravani Pracharine Nirvishesha Shunnavadi Pashyatya Deshatarine Jaya Shri Krishna Chaitanya Prabhu Nityananda Shri Advaita Gadadhara Shivasati Gaura Bhakta Vrinda Hare Krishna 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 Hare 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 Ramo Hare Ramo 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 Hare Hare Vanchi Kaupataru Vishya Kripa Sinku Bevacha Patitanu Pavu Nirvya Vaishna Vipu So actually, we wouldn't hear these prayers if Matsya Avatara comes in time. But this time Matsya Avatara came untimely. And it's happening sometimes. Actually, Matsya Avatara supposed or scheduled to come at the end of the day of Brahma, when Pralaya is supposed to take place, to save the Vedas, to save the sages, to save the next Manu, and so on. But this time Matsya Avatara came during the reign of Chakshusha Manu. It was not 14th Manu, it was 6th Manu only. So it was right almost afternoon of Brahma's day. So what happened afternoon of Brahma's day? You can guess. Brahma feels what? Sometimes we also feel the same. Tired, yeah. Feels like sleepy. And because of this, he took a nap. Small nap. And this nap, actually, the duration of this nap, nap is also considered to be a night of Brahma. So because of this, all these mega clouds, big clouds of devastation, they're about to come and to inundate whole three worlds with the water of devastation. But before this, Matsya came to save the next Manu, to save the seven sages, to save the different plants and herbs and different living entities. So it was the second appearance of Matsya Avatar during the daytime of Brahma, of our Brahma. Like this small introduction. I found it interesting. So now Vavasata Mara continue offering prayers. Let's analyze the words because it's very interesting and it's also very important for us, and it's suggested by Chari. We have to analyze what we read right now. We have to look at the beginning. At the beginning we have Antar Bahish, means Antar within and Bahish without. And the Charas, you wander, means you exist within and without of everything, whatever exists. How the Lord exists within, as a super soul, indwelling super soul in the heart of all the living entities, as a overseer and permitter, Upadrashta and Anumata. Overseer of what? Of our activities, right? And permitter of what? Of fulfillment of our desires, if there is a will of the Lord for this, if karma allows. And then inside he is also a prana, because in the next two verses he is called prana, means he is a living air which sustains this body. Without this living air the body cannot exist, so he is a prana, the Lord of prana. And also he is a principle of intelligence in us, in the living entities, so as such he controls three functions of intelligence. What is it? It's memory, that's ability to reason, and ability to recognize. This is three ability of which also sustained by the Lord, maintained by the Lord. And also knowledge, it also comes from him. Wherever knowledge exists, we can understand that the Lord is the bestower of this knowledge, that the Lord is behind this knowledge. That's how the Lord actually saw many functions of the body sustained, maintained by the Lord. They are innumerable actually. So that just few of them are here. And without or outside, he exists as his different incarnations. They come in like the waves in the ocean. They are unlimited actually. We know only 10 of them, right? Dashavataras, or little more, but they are innumerable. Because Krishna incarnated in all the species of life. To deliver these pieces actually. And outside he also enters this universal form as a Paramatma, as a super soul of the universe. And this form become what? His material body. And whatever we see outside, different manifestation of the universal form, like mountains, like rivers, plants, trees, living entities, different beasts, whatever, birds, just different limbs of his body, material body. So whatever we see inside and outside, that's our Lord. So His existence is obvious for everyone, right? But Chakila Loka Palakai, that's the next phrase, means all these palakas. Pala means what? Protector, yeah, controller of Chakila Loka, of different lokas, different planets. They cannot see you. For them, you are the beginning of the second line, Adrishta Rupa. Drishta means to see, seen, and Adrishta means not seen. For them, you are not seen. It's also very interesting because, say, one great artist to recognize another great artist by his masterpiece or by his paintings. Obviously, yes. Whenever he looks at this masterpiece, immediately understand, oh, this great soul, great artist actually painted this. But here, Chakila Loka Palakaya, they cannot see Adrishta Rupa of the Lord, of another Ishvara. And we will come to this point. So it's beyond their control to see or to know, it's beyond their sense of perception. And knowing that His form will be Adrishta, not seen by others. Lord actually manifested something else in this material world. What is it? Uru Svanah. Uru means great. It's really great, like step of Vamana. This one step, Uru means really, really great something. This one Uru step, Lord Vamana actually covered whole three worlds, Burbu, Var, and Svar, with one step. That's Uru, means great. And Svana means sounds. Sounds of what? Of His voice. Uru Svana, He manifested His voice for all of us. And Srila Prabhupada translated this as the Vedas. All Vedic mantras included in the Vedas. And of course, the highest Vedic mantra is Maha Mantra. What we chant, because this mantra immediately purifies the heart, the senses, all our existence, so that we can see Him. So if the Rupa is unseen, then Krishna, by His mercy, manifests something else, His voice, so that finally, when we hear Him, we see Him. That's how we get to know about Him. We hear about Him from the Vedas, that's His voice, and then we can understand Him, we get to know Him, and then we can see Him. This is a chain. This is given to us, to perceive Him as a Rupa finally. We will see. And so what exactly they will see? Of course, where they already purified, they will see the Rupa, what they will see. And this is the third line, the beginning. Sa Ishtvarastvam, they will see that you are an Ishvara, that you are a supreme controller. So it's also very important, it's most important part of this verse actually, how Krishna manifests Himself as a supreme controller, right? Because it's His prominent feature, He is an Ishvara. And they will appreciate you by seeing you, by hearing how you manifest yourself as an Ishvara. They will appreciate you. This is the point here. So control and maintenance is also a very profound point. They go in together. There is no control without maintenance, and there is no maintenance without control. The two sides of the same coin. Right? Why Krishna controls us? Because He took this vow to maintain us. And to be able to maintain, He has to control, right? So all these controlling points were just to be able to maintain us. Because even in the material life, control without maintenance, that's crime. From the side of the leaders, when they just control and not giving the facilities for the citizens to live, that's crime, right? And does the opposite, then there is a maintenance without control. That means what? It will, yes, chaos. It will just spoil the person whom you maintain, right? He will be completely spoiled without any control. You're just giving and giving facility to him. So this thing going together in one packet, control and maintenance. Therefore, Krishna, controller. But how are he controlling by maintaining us? So why Lokapalas cannot see the Rupa of the Lord, the existence of the Lord? They're great Lokapalas, they're Lord Brahma. It's not just normal leaders of the society. Actually, Srila Prabhupada points here that these leaders of different planets are on the level of Lord Brahma and Lord Indra himself. So they have to see, they have to know, because Krishna is the very force behind their ability to maintain. They are being sustained by the power of Krishna. They're completely dependent on power of Krishna, right? They cannot do it on their own. They cannot maintain all these innumerable living entities. So, and Lord Matsya actually want to hear the answer to this question. Why cannot they recognize me? Actually, this is not just offering prayers, right? Vaivasvata Manu just stays in front of Matsya Avatara. This is the reality of the earthly heavens. Actually, whoever they pray, all these different avatars of the Lord, they exist there on different dvipas in their personal form, as well as in the form of the deity. So they personally exist to be worshipped, to be offered different prayers. So Matsya Avatara conversing actually this Manu here, this our Manu, present Manu, Vaivasvata Manu, and he's asking the same question, why cannot they recognize me? But he's asking this question indirectly. Actually, the Acharyas explain it. He's asking, you already mentioned different Lokapalakas. You already mentioned these Ishvaras. What is the need to mention me as Ishvara? Right? They already mentioned. Everyone understood the Ishvaras. And the meaning of these words of the Lord, or meaning of this question of the Lord, they seem the Ishvaras. Why cannot they recognize me? So it's not straightforward question. Because it's how rasa is going on between them. It's a part of rasa actually. And rasa is like a movement of the river. And they already have this established rasa, Lord Matsya and Vaivasvata Manu. Vaivasvata Manu is a great devotee of Lord Matsya. So Lord asking him indirectly to make Manu understand the real meaning of his words. And sometimes Lord acting like this, because in Mahabharata he mentions actually that the real meaning of the words will be understood by intelligent person. Therefore, the people in the world cannot understand each other. The real meaning of the word will be understood by intelligent person. That's why the people in the world cannot understand each other. Why? Because they are not intelligent. So Krishna wants us to be intelligent. Krishna wants us to understand his words, although probably they indirectly asked or uttered. And that's why he is asking such a question, meaning, why cannot they recognize me as Ishvara? And Vaivasvata Manu offers the answer to this question in his next verse. And it's also very profound, very deep answer. I will little bit touch this because that's how these two verses connected actually, and this prayer. Yes, my Lord, they are Ishvaras, Lokapalas, but you are the Supreme Ishvara, and therefore they are envious of your authority. They are sick. They got fever of envy. And it's called there Matsarya Jvara. Jvara means sick, fever. Jvara means fever, and Matsarya means envy. So they are sick. They got this fever of envy. Therefore, they cannot recognize you as an Ishvara. They think they are only Ishvaras because of they being envy of you. And so, very crucial point actually. And then Manu, there in the next verse, he adds little word, kila. Lokapala kila matsari jvala. Kila means what to speak of others. All these lokapalas being so great leaders of different lokas, different planets, different societies, so forth, they cannot recognize you as Ishvara, what to say of others. Meaning that this is universal problem. Then envy of the world. This is universal, from the top to the bottom, from Lord Indra to the insignificant Indra Gopa. And isn't it it actually create different feelings in the heart, so what to speak about us, what we are doing here. But anyway, we will come to this point as well. So then Manu continue, but without your help, however, they cannot maintain the innumerable living entities within the universe, neither separately as individuals nor concertedly. They totally depend on you in this. You are actually the only maintainer of all living entities, movable and unmovable. Whoever we see in this universe are being maintained by you. And this is confirmed in different sources, of course. Ekalishvara Krishna Arasa Babritya Yare Yeche Nachanye Hitare Kari Britya. Meaning Ekalishvara Krishna. Krishna is the only Ishvara. Arasabha Brita, all others, they are his servants. And he makes them dance as he likes. And they are dancing according to his... So that's his feature of being Ishvara. That's how he manifests himself being Ishvara. So why would Vaivasvata Manu touch this very sensitive topic of somebody being envious of the Lord? Because he himself is from that category, from Lokapalas. Because he is maintainer of the mankind. He is local Lokapal. He is maintainer of the mankind on the earth. Right? So he knows what he speaks about. And he humbly here admits, yes, we have this great fault. We are envious of your nature. We are envious of your control. We are envious of your authority. But despite of the fact that the whole universe is filled up with majestic, splendid manifestation of the different arrangement that you have made to maintain this universe, like sun and moon and different stars and the rains and the different innumerable functions inside the body which works cooperatively, perfectly, and the innumerable, the thousands, millions and billions and trillions of different functions within this universe, and also what's it, the passing of days and nights and passing of yugas and kalpas and the different for the living entities within the millions of the universes here. This is Krishna's maintenance, and also he's the principles of intelligence and sages and Vedas and spiritual masters, everything is there. We cannot deny his existence actually, but these Ishvaras cannot see him. So despite of so many evidences that he is an Ishvara, he is a controller. And Srila Prabhupada actually, very interesting moment here, he translates this Matsarya Jvara, or this fever of envy as envy of each of the authority of the Lord. But there is no indication of this in the Sanskrit. It's just Matsarya Jvara, the just fever of this envy in them. Right? He translates the envy of the authority of the Lord. But other commentators, they they translated it as they being envious of each other. But Srila Prabhupada is such a sage, he has such a sharp, such a clear, such a powerful spiritual vision. He just going up to the root of the problem. But why they envy each other even? Because it's how they will manifest the being envious of the Lord, right? Because they are part and parcels of the Lord. So if they envy each other, that means they envy the Lord, right? Himself. That's the logic here. This is our Srila Prabhupada. So, but we have to be just here. And also Acharya explains that this manifestation of envy, of pride, of different demonic qualities in demigods, it happens sometimes. It's just temporary manifestation and never permanent, and just appear under some circumstances, particular circumstances. Otherwise, the demigods always subordinate to the Lord, always understanding that He is the person who empowered them, right? Who gave this ability, very ability to maintain to them, and they carry on their duties which were entrusted to them by the Lord very faithfully. They completely devoted to the Lord. That's our demigods. But what are these circumstances which impel them to show envy, to show pride, to show different demonic qualities? Should be very firm, like reason, very strong, very heavy reason. And also it's explained by Acharyas. Acharyas says that when the demons take over in this universe, the demonic mentality prevails. And the demonic activity and consciousness soil the demigods. Very simple. And this is what exactly happened 5,000 years ago, when the earth was tormented by all these demonic forces. And on the request of Mother Earth, Lord Brahma called Krishna to come. And when Krishna came, even Lord Brahma couldn't recognize his master in this little uneducated Krishna. He was too simple to be master of Brahma. So Krishna wanted to show even his superior power by trying to hide his beloved cowherd boys and calves, right? And at the same time, the same thing happened with Lord Indra. When Krishna stopped the yajna, the worshipping of Indra, and instead of this started worshipping Govardhan Hill. So Indra also wanted to manifest this superior power and try even to harm physically Krishna and his beloved Brijabasi. So this is exactly happening when the consciousness of the demigod polluted, soiled by the demonic mentality prevailed in the universe at that time in the surface of the earth. And now the civilization on the earth planet became so degraded, all of us, we know, they're so ugly that the demigod stopped visiting us completely. But Krishna is still with us, and it gives us great hope. Moreover, he's sitting next to us, next to me, and witnessing our material qualification, or rather disqualification, however, of course, with it. But still, despite of it, he's sitting. Why would he sit next to us if he see our material qualities? Of course, he sees something else. He don't see us ugly. He don't see us disqualified. He don't see all of this. And actually, proved by Rupa Goswami in his Padyavali, he put very nice verse. It goes like, where of the piety of Hunter Dharma and the maturity of Dhruva, and the knowledge of Gajendra. Where was the beauty of Kubja? Where was the chivalry of Maharaj Ugrasena? Where was the wealth of Brahmana Sudama? Where was the noble birth of Vidura? Bhakti tushiti kevalam nachagunaya bhakti priyo madhava. So Madhava, Krishna, is tushiti, is satisfied only by kevala bhakti, nachagunaya, not by material qualities. Bhakti priya, priyo madhava. So bhakti, which is dear to Madhava, and it gives us great hope actually, that despite of all our my disqualification, still sometime probably in the future I will able to serve him and he will accept me as I am. So, and we have to see what is important here. Yes, Krishna is described as Ishvara. This is most important word actually. Sa Ishvara Stvam, you are an Ishvara. And nice analogy is given with the last line in this verse. This nice analogy is given to prove how he is Ishvara, how he manifests himself being an Ishvara. Namna yatva dharmaim narastriyam sa Ishvara Stvam ya idam vashenayam. So you Ishvara, you brought Anayam, you brought under your control, Vasha, all the innumerable living beings, different by names, Namna, Yadha, as, exactly as, or exactly like, Nara, or puppeteer, who controls his tree, his dolls, which made of Daru, wood. So that's how Krishna manifests him being an Ishvara, so he controls. He pulls actually different strings of the different living entities and in this way he controls them. And here Srila Prabhupada actually mentions that all these namna, different living entities by name, they are kshatriyas, vaishyas, shudras and brahmanas. Although there is no indication of these names in the Sanskrit, but somehow Srila Prabhupada following Acharyas mentioned it. Why? What is the reason of it? Should be some reason. Yes, there is a reason. To show that Krishna is a supreme Ishvara. And therefore, he pulls all existing strings. So all the means to control is under his control. He is a controller of all means to control. How many strings do we know? Passion, ignorance, goodness, and one more, that's love. Four strings. So is there three or the last one? The string of love. So all the means to control are under his control. And moreover, all the living entities are under his control because these four categories which are mentioned that actually represent all the living entities with all the varieties of guna and karma. Nothing exists beyond them. So they represent fully all the living entities. Therefore, Krishna is the supreme Ishvara because he has all the power of control in his hands, all the means to control others, and as well he is controlling all the living entities. But actually we can decide which control we want to accept, which puppet we want to be. We are all puppets, as it stated here. They are all the dancing dolls of Krishna, somehow or other. But this is our choice to decide which aspect of the Lord we want to come under. We want to be controlled by him. He is a puppeteer in two aspects, as Yogmaya and Mahamaya. And when Mahamaya pulls the different strings, he pulls the string of ignorance, say for example, tick. We know, all of us know this wonderful picture in Bhagavad Gita, right? How Mahamaya pulls different strings and also this dancing living entities exhibit, they dance. So when Mahamaya pulls the string of ignorance, this living entity sings, now I want to enjoy intoxication. And when she pulls the string of compassion, he sings that now I want to enjoy sex. Although he sings, this puppet sings, that I am independent of my choice. Actually, this is just the association with the different modes of nature, which Maya pulls by her strings attached to this living entity. That's why this material desire comes to the mind. And actually, it's very complex subject matter, but in nutshell, we can just identify this desire as the result of pulling different strings, of associating with the different modes of material nature. And there are many programs in the world how to become independent, how to become free, how to get freedom. But actually, whenever is the want of freedom, there will be fight, there will be war, there will be struggle, there will be battle with bloodshed and with different hardships. It's unavoidable. And actually it proves that it's unnatural. And whenever they try to become independent, it's proof that they want to be independent from the Lord Himself. Because they're just fighting with their fight. They're fighting with their karma, which sent to them by the Lord. So they want to be independent from the Lord. And there is real independence. Independence not from God, but from Maya. And this independence from all these bad qualities we mentioned, that envy, pride, lust, anger, madness, illusion. There are six enemies in the heart. So the real independence, this is independence from these qualities. And when we're completely independent from them, we become a puppet of Krishna. We become a puppet of Krishna, completely dependent on Him. Either we're independent from the control of Maya, and we are a puppet of Krishna, either he or if we are a puppet of a Maya, independent of Lord Krishna, although we cannot be independent anyway. And the greatest personality who ever walked on the face of the earth, actually, they declare themselves to be puppet of Krishna. They didn't declare themselves to be puppet of, or to be the God great. No, they declare themselves to be puppet of Krishna, Krishna's servant. And this is our Srila Prabhupada. When Srila Prabhupada first came to the West, and he saw from the distance the shore of America, he wrote very nice prayers, marking Bhagavata Dharma, with all his sincere heart. And first, and the first sentence was, "You brought me to this terrible place, and now thousands of Indians going to America finding its great place." But Srila Prabhupada, when he came to America, he just exclaimed, "It's so terrible, you have brought me here. And I don't know what to do here. I have come for your call, I have come for your business to deliver this message of Vasudeva to these people. How can I make them understand this message of Krishna consciousness? I am powerless, I cannot do it on my own. Unless you put your words in my mouth and make me speak with your words, then only I can convince them. So it's now up to you, my Lord. My success or failure, it's in your hands. And if you brought me here, then consider me your dancing daughter. Make me dance, make me dance, make me dance as you like." It was sincerely said from the core of the heart of Srila Prabhupada. Actually, it explains the real thinking of a really, truly liberated soul, the real thinking of the true saint, the Sri Prabhupada. This is very special mood, Prabhupada described, very special, completely dependent on the mercy of the Lord. This full surrender without reservation. This is something very profound, very deep. And he showed to us, actually, as his followers, that we have to imbibe the same mood. This is called Sharanagati. Full surrender without reservation, totally dependent on the mercy of the Lord. It's called Sharanagati. And there are six symptoms of Sharanagati. We know them. And among them, the basic symptom is what? Humility. And from the humility sprouts all other symptoms of surrender, of the Sharanagati. We can mention them. Anukulyasya sankalpah, pratikulyasya vajana, rakshishetiti vishvaso, together, goptriptve bhavanam sada, atmanik shepa, karpanie, tadvidhi sharanagati. What is this? Anukulyasya sankalpah, to accept whatever is favorable to devotional service. Pratikulyasya vajana, to reject whatever is unfavorable. Rakshishetiti vishvaso, to consider Krishna only protector as Draupadi. I cannot protect myself as two hands in the air. Only you are my protector. Then Krishna comes. So that's Rakshishetiti vishvaso, only protector. Only. Not our own power, not our own ability, not anyone else apart of Krishna. Just you, Krishna. That's your. And the fourth, Goptriptve Varanam, means only maintainer. I don't maintain myself. Nobody else will maintain myself. Only I rely only on Krishna in my maintenance, because he took the solemn vow to lead me to his abode of bliss and knowledge. Therefore, he maintains me on the way. He's leading me there. So he's my maintainer. So that I just keep my soul and body together. Atmanik shepa, full surrender, without reservation, with my mind, with my words, with my body. Atmanik shepa and karpanya. Karpanya means humility. And humility, this is the basis. And when the humility is there, then all other symptoms, like atmanik shepa, full surrender will come. And the example of humility is Krishna himself. He's so humble, he's so great. Param Brahma, Param Dhamma, Pavitram Paramam Bhuram, Purusham Shashvatam Divyam, Adidevam Ajam Vibhu. Everything is a feature of his being so great. Param Brahma, he's the eternal truth. Param Dhamma, he is the supreme abode. He's the purest. Pavitram. Paramam Bhava Purusha. He is the original Purusha. Shashvatam. He is inexhaustible. Divyam. He is transcendental. He is Ajam, unborn. And Vibhu. He is the greatest. That's how great he is. But still, he is so humble. Even despite of him being rejected by all the living entities, not just by one, by two, by innumerable living entities, in all these innumerable universes, he still maintains them. Being rejected, humiliated, insulted, blasphemed, criticized, and even physically harmed in his form of the deity, still. Despite of all this, still he leads all the living entities to his abode of eternal happiness. That's the extent of him being humble. This is for us greatest, actually, example. And this is humbleness of the second kind. We have to accept it. For me, that's always the source of greatest inspiration in my spiritual life, just to see how Krishna is humble, despite of all his greatness, and how he leads us to him. I have to stop here. Thank you so much for your attention. Гранхарачи Мадбхагаватам ки джай, Шива Прабхупада ки джай, Ананта Куцивашна Вринда ки джай, Гор Брамананда и Хари Рупа. Any questions or comments? Still Sharanagati. That's the only solution. These six qualities which you mentioned exist symptoms, starting from being humble. And actually, the process himself will purify whoever going on this path. The process of preaching will purify him totally, because it's direct connection to Krishna. There is no most or more direct like connection with Krishna than preaching. So this process will purify whoever follows it. And you have naturally be humble when you're going on the street, you're going for sankirtana, you're going for preaching, then whatever happened, everything may happen. So you have to tolerate, you have to be humble and still carry on, still completely dependent on Lord's mercy. So Sharanagati should be there, and this Sharanagati will save us. Because our sadhana without Sharanagati, it's just useless thing. It's always mechanical. It's not useless, of course, it's mechanical. What brings us to attachment to Krishna, this is this mood of Sharanagati. Thank you so much. Hare Krishna.